I don't think that's indicative of how good they are. I believe.
Oh, so their performance on the field is not indicative of how good they are. Is that what you just said?
That's not what I mean. It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 202. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. On this episode, Matt and I get together to talk about what went wrong against UCLA and just how disappointed we fans should be after a tough loss to a good opponent on the road. We then preview the Michigan game, make wild predictions, and forecast the rest of BYU's football season. This is the Rise and Shout podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout and listen to us yap right now. Rise and Shout podcast, the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode, I think it's 202. Matt, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
What is going on?
Well, there is something we need to talk about.
Yep.
You have finally seen what the rest of the world has seen, which is a movie called Avengers Age of Ultron.
I actually watched a movie.
I believe you and your son were one of the last two human beings on the planet to see it. He also
believes that, actually. He pointed that out more than once.
There are some tribes in Brazil and Peru that have not seen it, as well as parts of Africa and Russia, where it's banned. So Matt, what did you think of Age of Ultron?
Oh, it was pretty cool. It was a good movie.
Good villain for you.
Good villain for me. I liked, you know, some of the dynamic, the development of the team dynamic, some of the subplots, the stuff. I've always loved the Hulk. Right, he may be my
favorite
awesome. One.
Hulk smash.
We thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good. Yeah, it is an awesome movie. I've seen it twice. I saw it both times.
I may watch it again. Because I actually own it now.
Oh, did you buy it digitally?
Yeah, I went ahead and just bought it digitally. You know, you look at renting options, and I thought, you know what I mean? If I had gone to the movie theater, I would have paid for two tickets. I would have paid at least what I just paid to own it.
Yeah.
You know, so I might as well just own it.
So are you now, will you buy movies digitally now? Is that what you do, or do you still buy some Blu-rays or DVDs?
I'm mostly in the digital age.
Yeah, I've kind of started moving that way. It's kind of nice. I can throw them on my laptop while I'm traveling and stuff.
Yeah, just makes it. It's just easy.
I know.
I like
easy access on the go.
I like easy. Throw them on the iPad for the kids on a trip.
Yep.
It's easy. Well, welcome to the year 2015. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm really glad to join you.
Yeah. So, favorite Avengers character then is the Hulk.
It's for me. It's kind of a toss up between the Hulk and Captain America in like the classic Avengers, you know, like the stuff we used to look at growing up. But I love the Iron Man character. I love the way Robert Downey Jr.
Awesome.
Portrays it. That is a lot of fun.
Yes, he is. Their casting has been spot on. Marvel did a great job. Like all of them are, I think, casted very, very well. Well, Matt, we're going to start off. We've got lots to cover. Of course, we'll talk about the UCLA game. We will preview Michigan. But before we get to that, it's time for CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So, Matt, women's volleyball and women's soccer, they continue to roll. Top 10 teams. Women's volleyball beat both Utah in the last week and Utah Valley University. Soccer continues blanking opponents. They have only given up a goal to Stanford this year. No other team has scored. So great.
They moved up again in the polls that came out today. They moved up a couple of spots.
I believe that is correct. Let me get there. I thought I had it pulled up, but you know how that works. Sometimes you don't. Let's see the internet. Number six. They are now number six.
Yep.
They beat.
There it is.
They've got coming up at Cal Poly. On Thursday, we're recording this on Tuesday night, and then Saturday night at Long Beach State before traveling to the Pacific Northwest the next weekend. So,
scenic Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and a couple of call-outs. Busy Phillips. I had not heard that name before. Busy. Scored midfield free kick on the game winner against Utah State.
Or was it Utah? Might have been Utah, actually. And then goal and assist against Colorado for Alina Medeiros. So they are, and I have caught some of the home games on the BYU TV. So
the BYU TV.
Yeah, the BYU TV. I get it on the Roku. Look at my little Roku.
On the Roku.
Yes.
I think Busy is actually a nickname.
I would assume so.
I think she appeared on BYU Sports Nation a couple weeks ago, and that was kind of the nickname she had as a child, and it stuck.
So if we're going to have a guest from the soccer team, is it got to be Busy, or do we get the goalie?
I think it's got to be Busy.
I mean, that's quite a name. And, you know, Ashley has, she's like, you know, All-American and stuff. That they don't come on our podcast. No, though we did have Mitch Matthews on the podcast, and he's, as they say on BYU Sports Nation, elite. Right? He's elite.
Yep.
So, anyway, congratulations. They're doing, both of these women's teams are right now just amazingly, doing amazingly well. And I think that will continue, I believe. So, anyway, it's Rachel Boaz is the goalie, who has allowed one goal in 709 minutes.
That's great.
Goal against average of 0.13 for Rachel Boaz.
That's okay, I guess. You know, is that good?
Gosh, she should be. I mean, obviously, in soccer, it's not just the goalie, right? The defense has to be pretty amazing. So, Matt, it's our new segment, which we have no weird, you don't shout or scream anything about it, but it's BYU players in the NFL.
Sweet.
That's it?
I'm still working on it. That's all I got right now.
Well, that was terrible. Wani Ungo,
I thought we were going to get a clip of Goodell talking and people booing.
Oh, yeah. Didn't get around to that this week. That's what we need. With the fifth pick in the NFL draft.
Ooh.
Hey, by the way, before I go into this, you know what? I'm going to gloat because people love when Patriots fans gloat, right?
Well, they sure do.
I'm going to gloat a little bit about all this garbage in the press about how the Bills are going to be really good and a defense and going to shut down the Patriots, who dropped 500 yards and 40 points on Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan does not have Bill Belichick's number. Okay?
No.
Let's set the record straight. And the Bills aren't very good.
In any sense of the word.
No.
Does he have Bill Belichick's number?
Not even, like, literally. I don't think it's in his, like, in his cell phone. He does not have Bill Belichick's number.
They're not on texting terms.
They're not on. Neither is Tom Brady with Rex Ryan.
I highly doubt it.
So dropping 40
points.
You know
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick text each other.
Yeah, they do. Right before Tom destroys his phone.
Why do you have to go there?
Hey.
He was getting a new phone, all right?
He was married to
He was due for an upgrade.
Giselle.
He was getting a new phone, that's all.
They destroy their phones. I bet she destroys her phone several times a year.
Yeah, they probably both do.
Yeah, why not? You know what that phone and all those texts would be worth to a
tabloid?
Yeah. Gosh. They would give buku bucks for that. So anyway, Wani Unga for the New York Giants, 5 tackles and a pass defense in the loss to the Cowboys. Not Unga's fault. The Giants have lost in kind of heartbreaking fashion a couple of games in a row, though Unga is looking really, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Ziggy Ansah, 7 tackles and a sack in a loss to Minnesota. Vannoy made one tackle that I believe was special teams in that. Ziggy continues to look good. 2 sacks in 2 games for Ziggy Ansah. Alani Fuad, I believe, was a coach's decision did not play in the Arizona Cardinals game this weekend. A little scheduling news, Matt, for the BYU football team. It was announced today that BYU and Oregon will play one game series in Eugene in 2022.
2022? This is going to be great.
Yeah. Why are you so excited?
We'll have colonized the moon by then. We'll be watching this game from the moon.
These announcements, sometimes it's great. And when we had our, I guess when we talked about this in July, we talked about teams we would like to have series with. Oregon was one of the teams we talked about.
I love that they're on the schedule. The 2022 thing, by then, quite frankly, I really hope we're in the Big 12 or something else.
And, yeah, we might have to cancel.
And
this,
we
right?
have to ditch some of these games. But, you know, we shall see. We shall see. But I love that Oregon's obviously a top flight program, that scheduling is awesome. So,
well, how do you feel about the fact that this is just a one and done? I mean, would you? I mean, I think we all would have preferred a home and away, but
well, the truth is there may be that in the works, right? Sometimes these deals aren't all that they look like at first. But I'm okay with the one and done with Oregon. That doesn't bother me at all. I think with some of these top programs, they're not going to do that. I think the other piece is, you know, we with the Pac-12 are a natural help for them, though this game was talked for September. But I think in the future, with, you know, Stanford having to play USC late in the year, and I mean USC having to play Notre Dame and that kind of stuff late in the year, I think we'll see some of these Pac-12 teams prop up on our schedules that are one and done to kind of help the Pac-12 with some other stuff.
You think they're going to be okay with playing us? I mean, we're not a research institution after all.
They play Oregon State every year. I don't seem to have a problem with that. And Arizona State. Give me a break, research institution. That's a crock. I mean, come on. I mean, hey, I have all respect for Cal and Stanford. That's not actually true. I don't have much respect for them. But, you know, there are research institutions in the Pac-12. There are also not research institutions in the Pac-12. I know all the Arizona State fans are going to send me hate mail, but
I'm sure there's some Arizona State fans listening to this podcast.
Well, they'll have a hard time filling out the envelope to send me the hate mail. So anyway,
Wow.
Shots fired.
Wow, that was harsher than you normally save that type of venom for San Diego State, you know, Stanford, and Cal.
The funny thing is, I actually have nothing against Arizona State. I've got a lot of friends that either went there or are fans. I actually truly have nothing against Arizona State. You're right. That should be saved. That sort of venom should be saved for Stanford, Cal, and San Diego State.
That was definitely some California school vitriol that you just threw all over the Sun Devils.
I withdraw.
For really no good reason at all.
I withdraw my slap to the face of Arizona State. I withdraw it. It is withdrawn.
It might be too late.
It probably is too late.
And the damage has been done.
I directed all to San Diego State instead.
Okay, I feel a little bit better.
So, Matt, let's talk about the UCLA game. I'm going to start it off this way, agree or disagree with the statement I will make. BYU fans in the aftermath of that loss overreacted to the loss. Would you agree with that?
On Twitter, I would agree to that. Okay. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to make another statement. There was, and we'll talk about this this final drive here in a minute, the decision to run Adam Hine, while maybe the wrong decision, was not a terrible decision based on how well he had been running the ball in that game.
I could get behind that.
I would not have made that call. I believe at those moments in a game, you put the ball in your best playmaker's hands, which right now is Tanner Mangum and those wide receivers. That's what I would do. On the most important play of the game, I want my best players
touching the football.
Yes, touching the football. That's how I would do it. But I do not think it was the worst thing in the world. Adam Hine was averaged in that game over 5 yards a carry. He had been running pretty well. The blocking had been there. It didn't work, though, obviously, and kicking the field goal there ended up coming back to bite the Cougars. So three things that you learned, or let's do two things. Two things each that you learned about the Cougars that maybe you were unaware of or unclear of before this game started.
The first one is we can run the football.
Yes.
This UCLA defense, I mean, this is not a clown defense.
Right.
Right? That's a pretty good defense. And to have Adam Hine go in there, even though the PA announcer was mispronouncing his name all night.
Hine?
They did that when they were in Houston, too. They called him Hine all night.
Well, whoever the guy was for Fox Sports at halftime, the announcers calling the game, Brady Quinn and I forget the other gentleman's name, they said Hine, but the guy doing the halftime show said Hine during the highlights, which I thought was funny.
Listen, it's the game isn't complete until somebody is mispronouncing a player's name. But Hine is 149 yards. I mean, where did that come from?
It's awesome.
So the good news here is we can run the football, and we found a little bit of a groove. I think that they've found how to play to what Hine can do and put him in a position to help matriculate the ball down the field. Yeah, I just wanted to use that phrase. So, but I think running straight at the defense, in between the tackles, and then letting him bust out after that instead of focusing on trying to beat people to the edge all the time, open up some opportunity for him. And 149 yards, I mean, that's pretty good. Now, well, there were a couple times there where I think I might not have given him the ball if just from a situational standpoint. Sure. But at the end of the day, what I saw Saturday was that we're going to be able to run the football this year.
Yeah, so my first takeaway is similar to yours, but a little different. And by the way, Adam Hine, 149 yards, and I could correct myself. I said over 5 yards rushing. It actually was per carry was 6.5 yards per carry. He had 154 yards total all of last year. He's already eclipsed his career high. He's now at 279 yards. This year, which was higher than his sophomore season, 2013, we had 224. The thing I took away is we can run the ball with Hine. We're in trouble if he gets hurt. Nate Carter has not been able to. I had big hopes for him. Obviously, Algie Brown did not play. I Harvey Lange came in and got that one big first down and showed why he was a very good running back before he became a defensive player. But I was very pleased with Hine and the running game. I'm a little worried about if he gets dinged up. We're really shallow at running back, which I guess we already knew, but it's even worse than maybe I thought. But some good out of there. What's your second takeaway?
My second takeaway is I'm not sure what the right way to phrase this is. Our ability to just dominate in time of possession. I think is going to be very important in a couple of games that I look at down the stretch here. Now, Mizzou may not be who we thought they were, right?
They are who we thought they were.
But in this particular game, a large part of the reason we were in this game was that we held the ball for 40 out of 60 minutes.
Yes.
We converted, we did 8 out of 19 third downs, which I think helps. When you're especially on that last drive, but on that last drive, you've got to get that ball into the end zone, right?
Yes,
but holding on to the ball, keeping their defense on the field, I think should put us in the position to be in any game we play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, mine is a flip side of what we just talked about with the running game. So Matt gave up 303 yards rushing, which is the most we've given up in a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember which date I started trying to look it up, but I couldn't find one over that. 8 yards a carry, okay, is what almost we gave up. The last time we gave up anything close to that was in, I think, 2012 against Notre Dame. It was like 6.6 yards a carry. And then you have Utah State back in 2011 when they had almost 8 yards a carry. I am worried about our ability to stop the run, which I did not think was going to be the case. You saw what we did to Rosen. He didn't get sacked, but he made bad decisions because of pressure several times, and obviously the interceptions. I'm a little worried about good running teams, and quite frankly, maybe that's not a big deal because maybe there's not a great running team left on our schedule.
I don't think we see another Perkins.
Oh, gosh, Perkins or Starks, for heaven's sakes. Right. They were both, but the holes were huge, and those guys are fast. Like, mm-hmm. Nacua is pretty fast, and he looked average speed or worse trying to chase down Perkins, So I'm a little worried about that. So, Matt, how good is UCLA? Is this a contender for the Final Four?
Well, I think they're a contender for a Pac-12 title, which is going to put them into the conversation for a contender for the Final Four.
I do not. Rosen is not good enough. Yeah, now he'll get better, but there's going to be other defenses like ours that confuse the heck out of him. And it was very clear. It was very clear who had the better freshman quarterback, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Tanner Mangum makes his reads, moves down his progressions. Rosen, when he felt pressure, sometimes it is okay to take the sack. Sometimes that is the right decision. And Rosen didn't take any sacks, but in at least two of those interceptions, he should have taken a sack instead of trying to force a ball where it did not belong. So I think they end up losing a couple games in the Pac-12. They're not even in the championship. That's my bold prediction for the moment.
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at the South Division right now in the Pac-12, I think they've got a tougher road to hoe.
Yes.
Than say Stanford or Oregon does.
Yes, I'd agree.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that. I'll be interested to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I mean the Pac-12 should be highly entertaining this year. Honestly, I think there'll be a lot of good games down the stretch for the Pac-12. So those of you that enjoy that brand of football, it should be exciting. Should be exciting down the stretch. I was going to look at UCLA's schedule real fast. Who they got home and away? We kind of looked at this last week, but yes, they have a difficult road coming up at Arizona this week. They're at Stanford, who might be better than we thought. At Oregon State, probably not a big deal. At Utah, and then at USC to finish the year. They dropped 2-3 games in the Pac-12.
Yeah,
I think so. But a good team, good team. You know, no loss is a good loss, but for a loss, this one's not so bad. Bronco says what all of us were screaming at the television, tackling was an issue against UCLA.
Yeah, that's like Captain Obvious, right?
Yeah, he said that Jay Drew's story, friend of the podcast, Jay Drew in the Salt Lake Tribune, I believe that was today. Also, special teams. The big punt return was a big deal. And Matt, our inability to have any kind of kick return game is hurting our field position. I mean, there were a lot of touchbacks in this particular one, but when we get it, we're lucky to get out to the 20. That's not good. Yeah.
Well, that last kickoff return, that's the one he brings out? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Just put your knee down and let's bring it out to the...
But the thing is, you want that guy thinking he can do it, right? But right now, we're averaging for the year, is this true? We only have 4 kickoff returns? Huh.
That may be right.
And only 4 punt returns as well. We have more interception return yards than we have kickoff return yards. Huh.
That's not a surprise, though. I mean, Kainakua, he's...
Yes.
There was that, how many yards was that last one?
I don't know.
Boise State about game, and that was
probably 50. Half of that number right there, just on that one interception. So anyway, so Matt, let's move on to Michigan. Okay, Michigan is now 2-1. They lost that first game to Utah, which we talked about several weeks ago. They have since beat Oregon State and UNLV at the Big House. What do we learn about Michigan from those wins?
I think it's still hard to tell where Michigan is at.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's where I'm sitting, is Oregon State's not good, and UNLV may be the worst team in the country, or close to it. I don't know how much we know. They played Utah kind of tough, and Utah's a decent team on the road, so are they decent? Maybe. Are they going to lose 4 games this year? Probably, right?
I think they've got a loss coming up. But if you look at their schedule, Michigan State's a very good team.
Michigan State's going to kill them.
I think Northwestern is in an up cycle.
Yep, that could be a game they lose.
I don't think they beat Ohio State.
They're
not invincible, but Michigan's not going to be the one to take them down.
Even at home. I look at that Minnesota game as certainly not a gimme. On the road, Minnesota's a decent team. Northwestern and Michigan State, you mentioned. And then the Penn State game's not a given on the road either. Maybe they don't lose 4 games. Maybe they only lose 3. But it's kind of hard to know, quite frankly. Their quarterback play's been pretty mediocre. Ruddock has 5 interceptions in 3 games. Put up decent numbers against Oregon State and UNLV, but looked pretty bad against Utah.
So that's my key stat for that for Michigan is that 5 interceptions in 3 games with a BYU team that has 7 interceptions in 3 games. You know, one of my favorite things is what Bronco is doing with his defensive line and linebackers, and it's really confusing some of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, people don't know what to do with it.
They don't know where the blitz is coming from. They don't know who's dropping into coverage. They're moving these guys around. It's a very NFL thing to do, and you can only do it if you have trust in your interior guys to be in the right spot, right? Because if you move guys around like that and then they don't do their assignments, it's going to use gaping holes in both passing and the rushing game. So,
and sometimes in that situation, you make a conscious decision to give up a gap.
Yes.
And if that's and it's all, you know, it's a little bit of a roulette game, right? If that's the gap they go into, like you leave yourself vulnerable for a big play.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a couple of those happened. But Bronco pointed out against UCLA, a couple of those big plays, the guy was there in the right position. We just didn't make the tackle.
Yeah.
And that'll have to change against Michigan, Matt. So Macy College ratings, I talked about these the last couple of weeks. This is kind of the conglomerate rating of all the big computer rankings. They have BYU at 25, which is down one from last week. They have Michigan at 40. But yet, Matt, Vegas has Michigan as a 5.5-point favorite. On the scale of 1 to 10, how crazy is that line to you with 10 being absolutely insane?
10.
It's a 9 or a 10. I don't know where this... I don't know what Michigan has shown so far. BYU has beat and then lost to 3 top 40 teams. And Michigan's got beat by a top 40 team and then has beat, you know, tier 3, tier 4 teams.
But you know what? Vegas likes tradition.
Yes.
Vegas likes big name coaches.
Is this the Harbaugh factor?
Vegas likes Dockers.
Vegas loves Dockers. That's true. They give you an extra point just for your coach looking good in Dockers.
I didn't say he looked good in Dockers. I'm just going to say he wears it. I think, but really though, Vegas likes those things. They look for that type of assurity because when you look at the type of people that are in there, right? You got how many college football games are getting bet on any given Saturday? And so a lot of this stuff is done at a very high level. People are making decisions. And when you look at Michigan versus BYU, people think, take into account, well, this is Michigan. It's at home. They've got Harbaugh as their coach, and they're 3 or 4 games in. Like they should be ready to do something here. And they're coming off of 2 wins.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said before, I'm not sure how much they've got. So Matt, let's do a little over/under action for the game before we get to the line and our predictions. Tanner Mangum over/under 245 yards passing. You taking the over or the under?
I'm taking the over.
Okay. I am also taking the over on 245 yards passing. Over/under 1.5 touchdown passes for Tanner Mangum.
Over.
I'm also taking the over. Maybe I made these too easy. Over/under 1.5 interceptions for Tanner Mangum.
Under.
I'm going to take the over on that one. I think he ends up with 2. Michigan so far this year is they have rushed for 555 yards in 3 games, averaged 4.8 yards per carry. So let's stick with the yards per carry, Matt, not the total yards. Over under 4.5 yards per carry, and we'll take sacks out of that. So just the running backs or quarterback runs, over under 4.6 yards per carry for the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday.
And just to be clear, you're saying they've averaged 4.5?
They've averaged 4.8 so far this year.
Ooh, 4.6, that's good. That's a good line.
That one I thought a lot about. The answer is under. I don't think they're a very good rushing team. They're not going to give us trouble the way.
Yeah, I'll probably take the under. I mean, because I had looked at it in terms of average rushing yards per game and was lining that up against their opponent, and I don't think they're going to rush for 185 yards against us.
No, I don't think so. Based on how they've done so far,
especially if Tuiloma plays
well, and I think if Ruddock, if we confuse him
and get three interceptions, they may be trailing and having to throw anyway,
yep.
Which I think we're both obviously tipping our hands, Matt, to what we think is going to happen in this game. So, again, Vegas has the spread at 5.5. Of course, to Michigan, I believe we're both taking BYU against the spread, correct?
Yes.
The over-under is only 45 points, Matt, which is a lot lower than the 60-point over-under that the UCLA game had, which they did not go over. Over-under 45 total points scored by both teams.
You got to give me a decimal point here.
Got to give you a
45 and
point.
A half or
it's,
44
the over
and
under
a half.
Is 45. If you want to say a push, you think they're going
to
score exactly 45.
I'm going to have to take
45.
The push.
All right, take
the push.
I'm going to do over. So, Matt, I think it's pretty clear both of us think this is a W. We thought so last week. There's nothing in the two teams' play that makes me want to change that decision. So what's going to happen in your mind this week?
I think the Cougars come out firing on all cylinders here.
Okay.
And I think Tanner Mangum has a very good day. I think we're able to move the ball on the ground and in the air. I think we do very well on third down, and we're able to put together some long, sustained drives to move the ball down the field. And at the end of the day, the Cougars win this game 31-14.
31-14. So you think they kind of get it running away. It's not close throughout.
No, this is not. I don't think this game will be close. I think at this by the end of the third quarter, the outcome's going to be pretty clear.
Okay. My prediction's not totally different. I think we don't pull away really till the fourth quarter, but I'm predicting BYU to win 30-20. I think our defense ends up giving up some big plays along the way, but we still comfortably win. I think Tanner has a good game. I think Harbaugh coach team will confuse him a little more than some of the defenses we've played thus far, hence why I predicted that I think he'll have two picks, but I also think he'll have some very big plays. I think Hine has another good game as well, and I think the Cougars exit September at 3-1. We both are predicting that, Matt.
Isn't that great? I mean,
that
who would have
awesome.
Thought?
Well, let's go to the tweet bag, Matt. We've got two similar tweet bag questions from two of our most frequent tweet baggers. Justin
tweet baggers.
Justin Sweeney at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. How is it possible that I kind of expect to be 3-1 by lunchtime on Saturday, given schedule and injuries? Todd, that's at Todd and D on Twitter, says maybe too late for the tweet bag question. No, Todd, not for you. We waited.
Not for you, Todd.
That's right. If we end up 2-2, will you be disappointed? Would have loved 2-2 a month ago, and I think he's referencing, of course, when Tanner went down there in that the first game of the season. So, Matt, 2-2, are you going to be disappointed if we lose to Michigan and end the month at 2-2?
I'm not. It's not the 2-2 that's going to bother me. It's the fact that I think that we should be able to handle this team. And if we're not able to come out of this game with a win, yeah, I'm going to be disappointed with that. And so it's not the fact that we got through the month 2-2 that'll really bother me. It'll be this particular loss that I'll really see as a lost opportunity.
Yeah, you put it really, really well, which is odd for you. So hats off to
oh,
you there,
thanks.
Buddy.
Thanks. I really don't appreciate that.
Yeah, a little backhanded compliment right to your face. I think I will be disappointed at 2-2 because losses are always disappointing. But if you look at it at a big picture perspective, losing to a top 40 team, which I think Michigan is or is close to that, on the road, when you're not, I mean, we're a top 40 team, but we're not a top 10 team. All the teams we will have played in this month, I think will be top 40 teams when it's all said and done or pretty close by the end of mm-hmm. the year. Going 2-2 against that group is not from the big picture is not like devastating, but we're sitting at 2-1. Michigan is still probably an off year for them before Harbaugh has them, you know, on that collision course every year. I think that we expect to see in the future with Ohio State and Urban Meyer. I would be disappointed. I mean, we could go 3-1 here and it sets up a special season. If you only lose once this year, that is a special season two. It's pretty cool, but I don't know that it goes into the annals of the best seasons of all time at BYU. But if you lose one, and it's UCLA on the road, and they end up being a top 20, top 15 team, that's a pretty cool season, and we're still playing for that. So yeah, I'd be a little disappointed.
You know, I think what you hope for in the scenario that we get through this season with just one loss, and I'm not when I is that you get into a really good bowl situation with a really good opponent and win that game. I'm not necessarily talking about a playoff bowl situation because I don't think you get there with one loss.
But do you get to the New York Six? I think you do.
The New Year Six?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I think you'd get a different bowl game than we're lined up for right now.
Yes.
And you get a quality opponent, you can get in there and beat that opponent. That's a special season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt, let's do the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
This is easy for me.
Week four. I don't know that we're either of us are changing a lot from last week. Obviously, the first three games are in the book. Michigan, we're both calling a win.
Yep.
UConn, I'll tell you what, this team is not good. They are now ranked 98 in the Macy ratings, which is high for them, but still terrible. So we're both predicting a win. East Carolina's not as good as we thought, Matt.
Win and win.
Cincinnati keeps looking worse.
That's a win.
Wagner.
Beat the Bearcats.
Wagner, I think that's where we fall. Wagner.
I don't even remember what the Wagner mascot is.
I don't either.
Wagner? Did I just say Wagner?
You might have said Wagner.
I think I did.
I think it's a Bearcat mixed with a Spartan.
So you're saying a Bearcat and a Spartan.
Mated. They did not mate it.
Okay. They're the Seahawks.
The Seahawks. That sounds right. A Spartan and a Bearcat mate. They come up with a Seahawk. Right?
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
San Jose State, we're both a win. So Missouri's the confusing one, Matt. Right now, preseason had them as the 18th best team. Macy, the conglomerate ranking, did. They're now at the 30th best team. And a lot of that has to do with this last week. You had them as a loss last week, and so did I. How do you feel this week?
I don't feel confused about this at all.
Okay.
They're not very good.
I still give us a loss.
Really?
They're not terrible.
What was the final score? What was the final score against UConn? I have to look this up. Where did they end up?
9-7 or something there.
It was something stupid. It was one of those scores where you're like, is that a baseball score?
Yeah,
what is this?
I think that they laid
9-6. 9-6.
I don't think that's indicative of how good they are. I believe they will be.
Oh, so their performance on the field is not indicative of how good they are. Is that what you just said?
That's not what I mean. What I mean is that teams will often lay eggs, right? Have a bad game, and then everybody, the sky is falling. They're not very good. And then it turns out that was just an awful week for them and isn't necessarily predictive of how well they'll do the rest of the year. I mean, I'll look at Alabama. Everybody's jumping off the ship, right, with Alabama
because
of the loss. They may run the rest. They have enough talent on that team to easily run the rest of their schedule and not lose a game. So, you know what I mean? Like, and Missouri's not in that caliber, but I'm just saying this could have been just one of those games. I'll tell you what, in the next couple of weeks, we'll really find out if Missouri's any good. But as of today, I'm sticking with my guns. It is a loss for BYU. You are predicting a win.
I am predicting.
Fresno and Utah State, we're both predicting wins. They're both not very good.
Right.
So that one is fairly easy. You're saying 9 wins regular season. I'm saying 8, so that it would be, I'm sorry. I'm saying 9. You're saying 10, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've got one loss.
You've got one loss. You've got one loss. So, anyway, it should be, I think, it'll be really interesting this week to see how some of the other teams on the schedule, not just Missouri, but Missouri is the one we've all got our eyes on. You've got 11 wins, I got 10.
You know that Missouri's starting quarterback, his quarterback rating against Connecticut was 36.6?
Yeah, I know. I looked at the stats. I'm a awful stat guy. I looked at the stats. I get it. I think UConn's defense might be okay. I know. I'm damning with faint praise here. But my point is, I don't know that – I want to wait another week before I freak out and say that Missouri's not any good. That's what I'm
doing. Right.
So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
That's cool, I guess.
I'm waiting a week. And we'll try to have friend of the podcast, SB Nation writer, Bill Connolly on. He's a Mizzou guy, and have him on. But they're still ranked, right? Missouri?
Yeah, that's 25. Crazy.
I would have dropped them out of the rankings. I mean, to me, that's easy. You know, you don't beat one of the worst teams in the country by like 3 points and then 9-6. I think that South Carolina will find out. Maybe we won't find out till Georgia how good they really are. Their schedule's not that tough until then. But maybe we'll see. If they drop a couple of these games coming up, I will side with you. I will convert. Man, and they only beat Arkansas State 27-20.
Yeah.
No, I'm sticking to my guns. I'm not going to be persuaded by you and by your facts and your good reasoning.
No, I totally understand. I mean, their leading rusher against Southeast Missouri State rushed for 33 yards. So yeah. I totally understand where you're coming from. Like they're looking good. They might be okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah. It's
what's
legit.
Wrong with that?
Totally legit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking exactly.
Oh, they're gonna be great.
Thank you for kind of putting that together for me.
They're going to be great.
You know, I hate ESPN box scores now for college football. They don't do the team stats.
Yeah, it's hard to get this stuff on there now.
I know. It's really annoying. I'm ending up at like CBS Sports and some other stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, they do. If you click around, you can get to the team stats, but it used to all be on one page. It was really nice.
Yeah, it's hard. All their stats are.
Hey, Southeast Missouri State only had 191 yards against Missouri, so
their leading rusher in that game.
Take that
33 yards.
Okay, I could be totally wrong. I could be hanging on to preseason stuff way too long, but I'm gonna still hang on. I'm hanging on. I'm not letting go.
Yeah, that's noble. Go. That's noble of you.
Well, let's just say we had as many. There have been games where we'll have as many offensive total yards as UConn and Missouri put together.
The final score of that game was 6-9.
Yeah, I know. Okay, did you see any of this game? I didn't see any of it. I saw the highlights or lowlights.
Early in the game, when I saw the score, I flipped over there. I was like, "What is going on over here?"
Nothing good. Nothing good.
I mean, if you look at the scoring summary, I mean, they didn't even get into the end zone until the second half.
It's not good.
It's crazy.
It's not good. So, Matt, that's about all we got. Next week, of course, we will be recapping the Michigan game. We will be talking about UConn and previewing it. Not as exciting as previewing a week at the Big House. On the scale of... Well, we have adjusted our QB scale, okay? The height is still Ty Detmer, but we're going to say no quarterback, zero quarterback to Ty Detmer instead of naming a person as a zero, which seems a little mean.
Seems a little excessive.
So we've adjusted the scale, Todd. So it's now zero to Detmer. How excited are you for a game at the Big House?
I think a game in the Big House is really that is exciting. It's an historic venue. It's a storied program. It's a coach who's crazy in the head. I'm going to be really disappointed if we don't get to see him flip out at least once. I want the clipboard to go flying. I want to pull his hat down and kick the dirt. I want to see that happen at least one time. But on a scale of zero to Detmer, I'm probably Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not Detmer excited. I'm probably Detmer Robbie excited. Bosco excited.
I am Detmer, Jim McMahon level excited. I mean, a chance to play not only in the Big House, historic venue, all those things you said, a 3-1 month with the schedule we had. I'm Detmer level excited for this.
I could get Detmer level excited if Michigan was a little bit further along in their process right
yes.
now.
And if I lived in Utah and not the central time zone, I would consider rolling out of bed just before 10 and just right into the game. But sleeping until 11 seems a little excessive. But I bet you we have listeners who will do that. They'll roll right out of bed to the game.
Or just flip it on in bed.
Sure, why not? It's 10 a.m. You have some little breakfast in bed. Have
Let the kids, them bring you breakfast.
Have the kids bring in some Fruity Loops, you know? So, anyway, so we'll be back next week with some stuff. Matt, anything you want to say before I finish us off here?
No, I should probably stop here before I embarrass myself.
Yes, that is true. We have promised, and we will still do it. We just keep running out of – we have so much football to talk about. We keep running out of time. Boston Batman will make an appearance sometime in the next few weeks.
There's a little teaser for you.
I believe what we're planning on doing, Matt, is you will interview Boston Batman.
I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to get Boston Batman's hot take on a couple of BYU sports issues.
Yes, and anything else. I mean, he's very opinionated, Boston Batman. So anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Check us out on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. If you like the show, go to iTunes and give us a good review. If you don't, stop listening, and please do not go to iTunes and put down anything. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
Thought it was dead and buried. Then it woke you up last night.